Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect, and my name is Elisa.
Hi, my name is Liz.
Hi, Liz.
I don't know what you guys have been seeing on the news. I apologize.
Okay. I know there's a lot. There's a lot.
Oh my God.
Going on.
Yeah, and I really wanted to do the show, so we'll see where this goes. But I just don't have the words to describe the madness that, you know, I posted a picture on Instagram because there was a peaceful protest literally right out my window. And that was nice to see. And then everything kind of shifted once it got dark. And I knew that everything sort of felt a little bit off. And we started getting alerts about a curfew. And I think part of the problem, there's lots of problems, but part of the problem was that the curfew that they initiated for yesterday, I think stupidly, was for 11 p.m. Tonight's for 8 p.m. And literally out my window, this crazy looting was taking place. And half a block from where I live. And what's so upsetting is that that's going to be the focus. It's a symptom of the problem. It's unforgivable. It's stupid. But if you dig deeper, it's symptomatic of the problem. And not that it excuses anything, but I am so rattled to my core. Oh, by the way, there's a pandemic. So rattled to my core. And thank God both of my sons were home. Because with my younger one, who is 15, going on 15 and is black, that's not a guarantee. And I just found out, and this is, and I apologize, I just found out that the curfew was lifted at 5 o'clock. And when I, and of course, did I sleep great? Did any, you know, am I in my own body? No. Do I even know how these words are coming out of my mouth? Absolutely not. And when I go to make my coffee, because I'm like, F the celery juice, okay, I can't even get it together to cut up this, forget it, can't even. I went straight for the coffee. I see, I could always tell, like, the next day, it's like raccoons, like with my kids, like, what do they do in the kitchen? What happened? So I never know what I'm going to walk into. And I could see that the kitchen was used, which is fine. And then I find a scrap of paper, and it looks like a dew pad at a restaurant, like a food order. I'm seeing 2 grilled cheese, 1 peanut butter. And God bless my younger son, because his heart is so pure. He made food for some of his friends. Were they involved in the looting? I'll never know. I know my son wasn't, but I know my son's going to be thrown into that pile because of who he affiliates with, whether they were involved or not, because it's systemic racism. And he left the house at 5 o'clock to give the food that he made to his friends. So now I'm low on bread. Do I want to go to the store today? Not so much. So, yeah. And I know we have a special theme for the show, and maybe it's good that I'm a little bit of a wreck because I'm not very present. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know, but I'm just going to ask you, Elisa, to just hold my hand right now.
Of course. Of course. No, I know that you are in an area that has been from the beginning of this whole thing, you know, it's been the hot spot. And you know, things were happening in Atlanta as well over the weekend. A lot of riots, you know, or a lot of protests that ended up in riots.
Right. Everywhere.
And that is across the country. And, you know, I was just talking about this with some friends on Friday evening, actually Saturday evening, because I wasn't even aware, because, you know, I don't watch the news. I just, no. Whatever happens on my social media page is what I'm like, oh. So, you know, I didn't even know about riots from Friday night until I got home. And I'm like, what? and then seeing it happen in my hometown of Charleston, you know, there was a protest and then there were riots, there was looting. And and I know people who have businesses on that main street.
Yeah,
where, you know, so then it brings up, so there's obviously, there's going to be a lot of confusion. There's going to be a lot of fear.
Yeah.
There's a lot of anger and a lot of wanting to justify
on all
sides of the spectrum.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's right.
And I have a feeling that when we go into this topic. The topic we're supposed to go into today, that it's all kind of connected, that there will be things.
Absolutely. Maybe I need the vacation. You know, maybe I need to be all messed up. Maybe I need to be a shell of who I am. You know, I was thinking about that too. Mm-hmm. I didn't even entertain for a second not doing the show, which is kind of surprising. Like, I was surprised that it didn't even occur to me. I'm like, okay. And it did occur to me, well, maybe my resistance is so low at this point. I don't know. So I'm here. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. there's a part of me that just knew, like over the weekend, I'm like, you know, I know things are probably a million times more hectic in New York City where you are. And I saw, you know, you sent Anna and myself the link, you know, your Instagram stuff, and I'm like, okay. And of course, then there's the other side, you know, everything's a time lapse, you know.
Yeah.
Pictures that we take, memories that we have are just that. They're just like one moment that's frozen in time for us to kind of look at. And there's the rest of the story. There's a pre-story. There's her story. There's history. You know, there's all of this. That there's still a bigger picture. And so it is important to, gosh, as tough as it is, to feel everything that we're feeling.
Oh, absolutely.
It's also helpful to know when to step away for a moment to take care of yourself.
Hopefully
you're always thinking about, how am I going to be able to take care of myself? You know, or just figuring out, like, if it is about just turning off the TV, it is about, you know, just hugging yourself. If it's about reaching for the coffee, then, you know, do what you need to do. And know that, you know, you're definitely not alone. A lot of people need to know that other people are trying to make sense of things just the same way everyone else is. And it doesn't matter, like, politically what people think.
It doesn't matter.
Everybody I've talked to, they're just they're at a loss as to how to make sense of all of these things. Because the moment you, the picture I get is like the moment you try to put your finger on it, you realize it's touching a lot of other stuff that you had no idea was connected. And the finger also points back at us, you know, and what is our part, whether we are conscious of it or not. A lot of it is just, that's just what we know. It's what we've done. It's what we know. And when we have to dig deeper, it is looking under some really big rocks and going into dark corners and really looking at what's there. And really, you know, it's scary and it's incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But knowing what's part of us helps us to see what makes up the rest of us, you know?
Yes.
So it isn't about, I'm just, you know, pure light. You know, there's so much more to it.
I'm like, F that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. As you can't go. Yes. I saw, I don't remember who, it's one of the people that you followed that I started following because I liked their post. I don't remember who, I think it came up yesterday and it was something like, if you think you can bypass what's really going on and just go to sweetness of light, like you're very much mistaken. Or, I mean, this is really part of it. And all the unfinished business is coming to the surface. And this is some very, very deep-rooted unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with Rodney King 30 years ago,
right?
Didn't really. And you know, if you look at the irony, Rodney King, and then in the time of Corona, the crown, you know, the crown revisit the king, or the king revisit the crown. If you think about
right.
like that metaphorically,
right?
Yeah. So that's the part that I think a lot of law of attraction, a lot of information doesn't really clarify. But stepping through and feeling everything,
mm-hmm.
I think is part of doing the work. So, am
yeah.
I enjoying myself? Absolutely not.
No.
Does it feel good? Hell Mm-mm. effing no. Do I know that this is the path for me to take? Clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make sense? Not yet.
Right. Not yet.
Right. Not yet. But I believe that this is part of doing the work. It's really just looking at the underbelly and time to deal with unfinished business. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Let me turn off my phone because I know, people are so sweet. I had, when this was all going on, one of my dearest friends knew that things were happening, like literally, like on my block. And he just stayed on the phone with me. You know, and I would close my curtains. And I would hear something crazy. I'm like, like 3 times during the call, I had to get up and open the curtains and look out the window because I didn't know what the hell was going on right outside my door.
Mm.
And that's beautiful. And we're safe for now.
Right.
And I would like to just put it out there for those of you guys listening live or on replay, whatever is going to happen with my son is going to happen with my son. No amount of worrying or anxiety or going to my knees is going to really affect the outcome. But I would just humbly request that you just hold him and others like him in a pure, protective, healing light. I think all of this, the importance of Black Lives Matter combined with a pandemic, it's just a lot to bear. And I wish I could just, you know, invest in one or the other, but unfortunately I can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is part of doing the work.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to just let you step us through what the show is going to be. I'm just here minding my business.
Yeah.
Off the start.
Well, well, you know, I know you even if all the stuff wasn't happening over the weekend, you would not have done any research because I know you wanted
Hell no.
to just
no.
keep it all clear. But for me, of course, right after the show.
Of course. I love it.
Right after the show. So
she went into the archives.
Well, you know. To kind of give people a little bit, a very brief bit of background, if you didn't listen to this past show on Thursday, we decided to dedicate one show today to go into a little bit more detail. A bit of a vision that you had, Liz, a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
in conjunction with a channeling or
yeah,
a bit of
vision.
A channel that, that
yeah,
Lois
yeah.
That Lois had kind of was involved with
that little vision
as a way of answering a question. It was a question that someone had on the show.
Okay.
And this was at the very tail end, so it was one of those, like, what is going on? And, of course, a combination of things, but we could not go into it. So it had an alien component, which was how you put it, where it had to do with aliens and experimentation. I'm like, okay. And, you know, Lois is in a lab coat, which that part does not surprise me.
Wow,
but then the rest of it, because it's what you saw, and then not having a real chance to explore that, and you know, you as a channel, you're having to interpret what you see,
right?
And you're also trying to figure out. Sometimes you don't think you have that language, you know, like the words for it, but it's
right.
this, you know, and then so I get that. That's something that's like, whew, that takes, well, what you do can take a lot of energy and it can take a lot out of you and you know, knowing all that, but also realizing, especially today, like, when are you going to feel like you were in the past? Like, oh, 100% I can do this. Like, when is that
really? Like, when is it a good time to have a baby? Same thing.
Right. So when I did my research, I found a lot of different things, and I was just going on tidbits of, you know, many conversations I've had over the years that has always, like, I've always been interested in it. Like, I think you, Liz, you've told me many times you would look at the stars and you just feel like I need to be out
yep.
there. Like, that's your home.
Yeah. Yeah. I look at like the, pictures taken with the Hubble
mm-hmm.
What's that called?
Telescope.
Oh, thank you. What's that thing? What's that thing that Papa uses? Whoa, my IQ has plummeted. Yeah, what's that thing called with the Hubble telescope? That's like porn for me.
Right.
I mean, I just look at that and I'm like, oh. Yeah.
So, and I've never gotten into, like, the stars and stuff, like astrology maybe. But I never got into that. I always loved clouds.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So different part of the sky, right? But for me, as we've done, like when we started doing the show, we would get a lot of people who would call in who were just way out into that realm of
so extreme, yeah,
of reality, I guess. And it was just stuff that by and by I started like, well, thinking, well, what does this all mean? And a lot of it had to do with, you know, what a lot of people would call conspiracy theory. So it would kind of go into that. That frightening part of, ooh, there's stuff happening that you just don't know about. You know, the whole thing about being hidden or stuff that you just don't know and the fear of the unknown, it just, you know, fed into all of that. And I would find myself, you know, scaring myself, you know, like I'd do more research. I'd be like, oh, you know, it's too much. And I would feel like the heaviness and the stickiness of it and you know, not really wanting to look more, but knowing that there's still stuff that's connected, and at some point I'll be able to look at it without being so afraid. And it makes me revisit when I was a little kid. I used to be so afraid of the dark. You know, I would literally just hide under the covers. Like, you know, I think lack of oxygen probably, you know, was a big factor in my, you know, my growth and development. It was like, how can I, you know, if they can't see me, which is a kind of a big joke, right? If they can't see me, then I'm good, then I'm safe. And then, you know, years later, but there's always this feeling of years later, well, yeah, they can only see me, whoever they are. You know?
Right.
Like,
right.
You can't really hide. You just think that because it's not like a physical body that you're okay. So maybe from that, but you know, I don't even think I had the words for it at the time, but I definitely felt like I was always surrounded and being watched, but not in a creepy way, at least for the most part, except for when I was at night, when I was trying to go to sleep and having to process the day's events. And, you know, we watched a lot of TV and I had two older brothers who really got into some crazy stuff. So yeah, I would, you know, The Exorcist had come out, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Oh Lord.
You know, things that are meant to traumatize anyway. So,
right.
I've always had those kinds of questions, and only recently have I felt more secure in what I know and trust in what is around me that I could go ahead and say, okay, I'm ready. and I'm going to look at these things and just take in what I can. And still always judge for myself, like, well, if it's too much to take in, then I don't. And the rest of it, I'll figure it out. So, of course, in my studies, I'm coming across, they're like e-books, and I'm like, I'm not paying for anything.
Nope.
But there's there was an e-book.
Give me the summary. Give me the chapter one.
There was stuff that was just, this was just, you know, there's a link, and you could read it. And this was not like a little, you know, couple pages, like close to 500 pages of a book. And there are two books, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I've read one over the weekend.
Girl.
and then started the second book, like, you know, yesterday, last night. But it's from a Chinese woman who did some, she's born and raised in China, went to Harvard for graduate school, perhaps undergraduate, graduate school. But ended up wanting to learn more about, I think she was in Ireland. She had taken this trip. She was called to go to Ireland. I think she was living in Holland at the time and felt like she needed to go and visit some of these ancient sites.
Wow.
So she did. And when she was there, but she didn't want to go by herself. So she took a friend of hers who could channel. And so she was already into, you know, her own spirituality, but so her friend could see the beings that were in these places.
Oh my God.
And so, you know, the woman was like, what is, you know, like, what can you see? And so she's having to write everything down that this person is seeing. And, just to let the story evolve, those were the Palladians. So that was her connection to this group of beings from a particular star system. So they're like, yeah, you're a star seed. So there's a whole phrase with star seeds. And
right.
But anyway, this book is basically channeled. Channeled.
Wow.
Channeled information, like a story of her. So the reason why it's weird for me to say, because as I'm saying it, you know, my interest in ancestral healing,
right,
it takes on a different dimension when you talk about if you're really not from here. And you know, not if you go way back, you know, then what does that mean? You know, and what does that, so what do you carry with you that has mixed with all kinds of other stuff, you know? What do you carry with you? And so this was a very interesting story, you know, a couple of stories, I guess, about what the influence is and, you know, what happened. And it was not just like her individual story, but like an Earth story. Like, this is what happened around this time to that kind of threw things off, and as a result, we're all having to figure out how to overcome the anomaly of, you know, of things that have happened that had literally put the Earth off of its axis, and that changed things. You know, like things like that. So like this little ripple effect of you know, if a speck of dirt falls into, you know, your soup, how does that change things? You know, that type of thing. But it's such a fascinating story, interesting story. And it's not a pretty one at times, you know, and there are things that were explained and I'm like, what? You know, just, you know, things that because of what we grew up with, we would be like, well, that's just downright crazy. But then you look in the bigger picture, you're like, oh, okay. So that's just, there are certain cultures that were like, that's just what you did. And it's different, I guess, and I know I'm talking in generalities because I think everyone should just try to read the book, but I speak in generalities because there are things, like I said, like that snapshot, like a picture, you could say, you can look at a picture, and I bet if everybody who's listening looked at the same picture, we'd all have different
absolutely
takes,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's the important thing, is that we're all going to have our different perspectives. But, you know, when I would hear stories from my mom, say, about religion, I heard her words, but I mostly felt her fear of if we didn't do this,
right,
then we're going to be punished. You know, then I will be looked upon as someone who's failed, as a mother, that I didn't teach you these things. And, you know, there was a lot of fear. And yet, you know, you look at the words and meant to be uplifting, and like, well, there's definitely a disconnect there. Because I knew, you know, obviously I love my mom. And I'm like, well, but how can so much of this love come through a filter like that? Like, how does that affect it? You know? So we grow up in a world where systems have been set in place, these very systems that everyone's questioning now. And that it's chaotic, and it's because people are finally asking those questions and they're putting some things together and they're realizing, well, wait a minute, you know, the more I keep asking why and the farther back I get, like it, none of it makes sense. Like we've sort of bought into, not sort of, we've all bought in, we've created civilizations based on things, on tenets that are never meant to uplift, you know? It's only meant to serve a particular purpose. So, it's eye-opening, it's cringeworthy, and yet it answers some really, really big questions. The more questions you ask as you try to follow a thread, you start to see that stuff like this. I've talked to my friends over the weekend, and I said, you know, change a culture takes time, but you have to be persistent. And you can see that time and again in history where where things are introduced, but this is like the history of histories, you know, as things are introduced. And so there's still, you know, obviously more to the story and more to come, more than what was just written. And I think this was written in, this was written last year, down last year.
Mm-hmm.
But that her story that she started when she started going to these sites in Ireland was in 2006. So, so when we're talking about at least specifically the Palladians, the way things are said, even in discussing or sharing, you know, what some of their things were doing, I'm like, whoa, that's crazy. It's still like the tone I get is love. Like the vibe I get when they're even, this is me just reading it. So obviously I'm not hearing it. They're just,
but you're
I'm just
feeling
reading.
But it's in frequencies are encoded in every, I mean, that's my belief. So that's great that you've felt that.
So that, and so as things I'm seeing, I'm reading things, I'm sort of getting these nudges like, okay, Lois, I get what you're talking about here. Or I know then why, who knows, years ago when she was in physical, why maybe certain things were like, hey, here's a little Easter egg for you for later, you know, just remember that part. Like, okay, I get that. I'll receive it. I don't know how all that fits together, you know, definitively, but I see how these things play in even the parts where I'm afraid, like, you know, like I said, over the years where I'll just do a lot of research and I'll realize how overwhelmed I am with, you know, well, what am I supposed to believe? And ultimately the work is, because when we talk about the work, it's the inner work. And if you cannot discern what in simple terms, what feels good or what feels like love or what is definitely fear, but fear to make you, to kind of control you, then that's where that work needs to begin. Because you can be in some incredibly intense situations, and yet if you know who you are and you know what you're leading with, there's the only word I can put it is that there is some sort of protection there. And it may not be like, oh, in my body, I'll be protected all the time. It means that like the soul of who you are will remain intact.
Always.
So,
that's good.
Where, you know, that's a lot that I was trying to read into. And then I'm like, okay, so based on all that, And I don't know, like, I don't know what you saw, you know, with your image and, you know, what Lois was trying to convey. But I remember the part there was I was asking her about the pattern interrupts.
Okay.
And that, because that was what came, like what, I think the question was, well, what specifically do you want to know about? And I'm like, well, what about these pattern interrupts that keep happening? Not personally for me.
Right.
As we've talked over the last few weeks, certain things that would, you know, in a dream or you know, our sleep patterns or whatever. And I'm like, well, what about these pattern interrupts? And there was like this, the way she responded was like, oh, I'm glad you asked about that. That's a good one.
Okay.
It's good to know. So I know that they serve a purpose.
Right.
And I feel like for me to read a, you know, close to 500 page book.
Wow.
About the ultimate, you know, pattern interrupt in what was originally supposed to be like the original blueprint of life on Earth, then I think that would be a nice way to kind of maybe introduce ourselves to the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, if you were to lead in with one bullet point, again, because I'm just speaking as Liz now.
Mm-hmm.
My brain is so shot. If you can just give me one lead in, one bullet point, something to just to see if anything comes in. I mean, is that should we try that? Because I know you set it all up, which is great, and I get that. But as the telephone operator, how would you like me to direct your call, please? And I'll see if anything comes
in. I guess the question there is, like, how do these pattern interrupts, I know they get our attention, obviously. They get our attention. And I'm just trying to, I guess, they get our attention and they're getting me to ask bigger questions.
Okay.
How does that tie in to things that I like the book I just read? How does that tie into the big pattern interrupt that I just read about?
Okay. Thanks. That got me. That kind of pushed me over the threshold there. Thanks. Okay. The reason I'm just deciding energetically my approach, because I'm getting information. Just deciding my approach because I'm so kind of like, I don't want to say damaged today, but I'm very vulnerable this morning. So I kind of think I want to have one foot in, one foot out. So I don't want to pass out or anything. So I'm just, I think I'm going to have, like, I'm going to be like in and out, like still kind of present conscious. Cause if I leave, I don't know what's going to happen. Okay. So what I'm getting, impression that I'm getting is that how it all correlates is that if you look at the, if you take the multiple creation stories, or rather creation myths, and the question she has for you is how would you define, what's your definition of a myth? Okay, we're going to start with that, because that's how she wants me to do this.
I think the way I've received a myth is probably part truth somewhere in there, but mostly a story to entertain and to teach.
Correct. So in the in all the multiple versions of the creation story, whether it is from the scientific plane or it is from the Old Testament. The creation myth and whichever avenue or lane or whichever bandwidth you chose to align with in that creation myth is an outpicturing of your designation. And by designation, it would individuate the journey, the pathway, and the patterns. So depending on which tier you stepped into with the version of the creation myth, that will line up to filter the outcome of patterns. And in the outcome of patterns, there's a distillation into one agreed upon core truth, which of course will be marred and appropriated and colonized by different dense points of view. And it is important to give the reminder that very likely the 3% of those inhabiting the earth to be the pattern breakers, to be awakened to the fact of awakening. Perhaps it's gone on up to about 5%. That is still a very severe minority. And therefore, there is no balance to this. It's not quite possible for pure balance to exist on the illusion of the playing field of the earthbound plane. That is why there's the inequality, the lack of balance, the impurity of pure concepts becoming corrupt, tainted, and distorted. So there are so many numbers of distorted perception because that is the operating system. The operating system taking place that has always taken place is a distorted operating system. And if you think of DOS, D-O-S, of the early days computer language, DOS is really distorted operating system. That's the baseline. And that language is an original language in that space of moving from human expression to human mechanical expression. And the inmates have certainly taken over the asylum. And when that is tied to the primitive and the feeling one's way in the darkness for mere survival, which is early humankind's language of origin, that evolving to the distortion operating system, it's all distortion. Clarity doesn't really exist except in theory. So where it ties into the pattern interrupt and the information, the divine intelligence or whatever label based on your bandwidth of perception, whether it's biblical or it is scientific or anything in between, the clarity exists from a distance because the clarity is observing the distortion. And when those who are understanding that they have been in a filter of distortion and they can intellectually perceive that the clarity is not to exist except only within the evolution of consciousness, is when things begin to get interesting. And in the outpicturing of how the pattern of extinction has been outlined and perceived, where cataclysmic events would take place to rid of an imbalance, whether it is a meteor explosion or some other natural act of extinction, that's what's happening now, and not so much in the literal sense, but there is an attempt from the perspective of where clarity lives, observing the distortion, to create a sweeping movement, a sweeping wave as another act of extinction, but it's an energetic act. So that's, I think that's all she wants to do right now, for right this second. Because I'm like so wide awake right now, and I was like, I left my body. So I have no idea. Okay, I just looked at the time. I don't know. How long was I talking?
Well, probably a good 5 minutes. Probably longer than that.
Okay. Yeah, that was, I mean, I remember just very peripheral, in a very peripheral way. I'm very lightheaded, but I don't feel as distraught or as out of my body. I feel much better, so I'm glad that I chose to do the show. So, without getting into a summary as of yet, I just want to ask you, because I wasn't really conscious all of the time, how did that feel for you, getting that information in the way that it was expressed? Because I literally was half in, half out, but I ended up being mostly out.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was to me felt very very neutral. So I didn't feel like, ooh, you know, I didn't imagine that the response would be a warm fuzzy, for sure. So
right.
Other than that.
So when you say neutral, was it more kind of like scientific, clinical? Like when you say neutral, what do you mean?
Neutral in that I don't think it was scientific or clinical.
But just like this is what it is. Like you said, this is just what it is.
Because you know, when I think of, there wasn't like any facts trying to, you know, bring it up or anything like that. It was just, yeah, like it is what it is, and it's going to play out. So maybe in that sense, it can be kind of like the observer, you know, that scientific part of the being the
observer.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like. I wasn't like emotionally, which is good because I can't deal with any more emotion right now. Yeah, I felt very kind of, yes. So that's good. So neutral makes sense because I felt neutral, and that helped me to kind of shift my energy to a less because I felt very fragmented. I couldn't even say my name at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel a lot less fragmented coming out of it. So I think that was good. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to break that down for me because I don't even know what she said.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, you'd have to do it now, maybe Thursday, but.
No, it's but it was interesting. Definitely the mention of distorted operating system. The moment
right?
That was said, I definitely thought of DOS. I'm like, oh, yeah, DOS, okay.
And then she said that, right? Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I can see that. I can see how, you know, if you're operating and everything's been operating from that, then.
Yeah, it makes sense though, right?
Yeah.
Everything's distorted. So, yeah, and I do recall there was a part of me that said, oh, my God, that kind of makes sense. That
yeah,
we're like fighting or struggling so much for clarity, and if we're just like, oh, it's not supposed to be clear. Oh well, I think you should have given me the memo. But I worked so hard to get clear.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes sense.
Well, because then you're still looking for something to hold, you know, like an example or a role to hold up, like, oh, this is what clarity is. And no one's going to be able to provide that, you
right.
know?
Right.
Not really. Not without being like, well, where did it come from? You know, like, there's still.
But it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing really is written in stone. I mean, look at what's been going on the past couple of months.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the last part about, you know, there's the changes are happening. I can't remember the phrase that was used. But it had to basically do with destruction, you know, or just not destruction, that's my term, but where things, waves, like the energy was what was going to be changing. I want to say the word was elimination or gosh,
yeah,
I can't remember.
I don't,
but it
yeah,
had to,
I don't, I
it
don't
had
know.
To do with that level of, you know, that level of change.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And I do remember, and thinking about it, like I'm remembering more and more of depending on your version of the creation myth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the filter. So it makes so much sense with the people who take the Bible really literally, and that's a lot of people all over the world, or whatever their scriptures are. It's that literal, or you could be so on the other side, so incredibly scientific, or you could be like Joseph Campbell, you know, you could be all about the myths. So it's very interesting that that is going to, you're going to reflect that in how you express, but all of it is distortion because that's all that exists is distortion. I think that's the biggest takeaway for me. And there's and it's, there's an odd sense of comfort in that because instead of like, well, this is my truth, I could say to myself, well, this is my distortion for right now, and let's see what happens tomorrow. I'm speaking my distortion. It's all distortion. Very interesting. Oh, Anna's messaging us. What is she?
Yeah,
do me a favor. Yeah, I can't. I can't. It's popped in my phone, but I can't like split my focus. But I, yeah. Let me see, because I think it's important what she's saying. Let me try to. But she's listening, which is great. Let's see what she's saying. Let me get my glasses. I'm like, girl, I'm all over the place. Oof. It's okay. So she's saying, it's all an illusion. What a mind. Beep. Clarity is the illusion from a distance. It's different for everyone. Wow, it does make sense. I love you, ladies. Well, thank you, Anna, for the thank you. Thank you for saying it makes sense because I leave my body and I don't know what the hell's going on. And, you know, at this point, instead of like two piece and a biscuit, like they left the chicken in the fryer and that is burnt. So you can't even eat it right now. You got to like do, make another chicken. So that's great that she said that she made those comments. Yeah. And it kind of takes it kind of takes the weight off of our shoulders. Oh, she's so funny. She's like chicken and waffles. Well, if I ever get to freaking Atlanta, I just want to go and visit you guys and just let me be outside the whole time.
Right?
Let me be outside. Seriously, this concrete jungle is like getting old real quick. It's too, a little much right now. That's great that her objective feedback is saying that, and what you said is very helpful. And with the research that you did and where she was going, did that sort of connect the dots a little bit for you? I didn't do the research. Like, and I, you know, you kind of summarized it without getting too specific, which is good for me because, again, I want to be as unfiltered as possible with what's coming in and not blurring the lines. But do you feel that it made sense with the book that you read and the second one that you started?
So far, yeah. I mean, obviously, okay. I have tons of more questions, but yeah, I mean.
Well, girl, you know, of course. Yeah. But I think as a starting point, that was just that whole concept of distortion as opposed to clarity, and that we can soften the edges and be less strident on ourselves and less to put less pressure. That actually helps me a lot. The whole parenting in this time of unrest and racial disparity, and in the time of Corona, the pressure that I have been putting on myself, and my older son has been distant with me, so the pressure I've been putting on myself and going in that rabbit hole of feeling like I'm failing as a mother, I'm failing as a person, this really helped. Like that whole piece of distortion and clarity, let me just be distorted for a minute. because it takes the burden off. It takes that anvil of just unnecessary emotion. Guilt is the most useless emotion, of guilt and shame and brokenness. All those distortions can come to light because it's just a distortion. And the clarity is to know that it's all distortion, and that distortion can shift. Because I don't think distortion is necessarily a negative thing. It's just the prism of where you're looking. So how do we adjust that prism as opposed to imposing a prison of perfectionism and clarity? That's my biggest takeaway, and I think that's really what I needed. And I think so many of us needed that. So on that note, okay, what is she saying? Okay, so she's saying being in this physical body is a distortion of who we truly are. Thank you. That is so helpful. And I appreciate you for wanting to have this conversation, because I know I was sort of putting it off a little bit. And then we can decide how we continue the conversation moving forward. So on that note, if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. We're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Take very, very good care of yourself. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Stay safe and stay healthy. Love you.
Love you. Bye, everybody.